Captain Kevin Smith, and this is Throttle Up, a radio show and podcast dedicated to the proposition that critical thinking, when employed, can dramatically improve performance in whatever we are doing, enable us to solve problems that others avoid, equip us to become thought leaders instead of followers, and provide us with the intellectual resources and moral courage to support and defend America and its Constitution. Our motto is clarify, reason, win. That is, clarify the actual, employ analytic reason, and achieve mission success. Our website, throttleupradio.com, that has all kinds of information. Also, our podcast is located there, as well as iTunes. And of course, we have a blog, so please visit our website. Our support staff, Evergroove Studios for audio engineering services. They are located in Evergreen, Colorado, and Reflections Printing for multimedia support, and they are located in St. George, Utah. Our book is Critical Thinking Essentials, Quick Reference Handbook. It is available from Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. Our broadcast time on Red State Talk Radio, we are on the weekends, both Saturday and Sunday, on the main channel, that's at 7 p.m., and the Encore channel, that's at 6 p.m. Okay, welcome back to Throttle Up. Now, we have just completed our 10-part series on big picture thinking. And now that's kind of a special edition of Throttle Up. And we do these special editions from time to time dive into a particular subject and to treat it in a way that hopefully is meaningful for all of us. And this special edition, I thought, was particularly important in light of a couple of things that have occurred recently in the business community at large, the design community. One of my areas of expertise is in design. I'm considered to be a design consultant as well as an expert in the field of critical thinking and complex problem solving. And so things have happened, and I'll just point out a few of them. The recent problems with airplanes, and in particular with Boeing, that is a ongoing problem, ongoing difficulties that this company is experiencing. And there's others in the news. There is a recent article in the Wall Street Journal that addressed itself to the top businesses. I think it was the top 25 businesses in America. And that is a particularly useful article pointing out various things that businesses, the top businesses cover, how they go about doing their work and why they are, in fact, successful. So we have just completed the Templar series on big picture thinking. It is an attempt to examine things more critically, examine things from a critical thinking perspective that also embraces looking at the whole picture, looking at the complete system, if you will, looking at it holistically, whatever we are looking at it holistically. And this is in stark contrast to what is typically done, is to look at things on a piecemeal basis. What we're trying to do here is to change that type of thinking, change that mode of thinking or that mode of cognition, where we look at individual pieces and we examine them in isolation. We would like not to do that very much. Now, I realize that sometimes we have to, but we would like not to do that very much. We would like to look at things from a broader perspective. What is the complete picture? And that's the reason why we are promoting this idea of big picture thinking. Okay, so we've just completed that. Now, this episode and probably one or two additional episodes is another special edition. It is another series, I suppose we could say that. I'm not exactly sure because the subject that we're going to be covering, which is the Inspector General's report on FISA abuse, that we are just learning about it as we speak, and it seems to be a significant piece of material that should be understood. And our point of view here is that we're going to try to understand it from a critical thinking perspective. So we're going to try to look at it utilizing our critical thinking hat and to try to see it, try to understand it in a way that is useful to us, in a way that we can gain lessons learned across the board, not just in a very narrowly defined point of view, but across the board. How should we think about this, and what are the lessons that we need to learn from this? How we can all gain from this and use it, hopefully, to our advantage, use it as a citizens, use it as a country to help us understand what actually did happen, why did it happen, not just what, but why did it happen, and how can we understand it from the perspective of not allowing it ever to happen again. Because as we will get into this, and as you will find out, it is a serious breach of public trust. It is a serious occurrence. It is an attempt to weaponize a law enforcement agency for the sole purpose of benefiting one political party over another. It's really pretty chilling what this report has uncovered, and the extent to which people were acting, not in good faith, but people were acting in bad faith, seriously acting in bad faith. So that's what we're going to be doing. So the title of this show is, we're going to be looking at this report, the IG report. All right. So the title of the report, to get some specifics out on the table. It comes from the Office of the Inspector General, U.S. Department of Justice. The title of the report is Review of Four FISA Applications and Other Aspects of the FBI's Crossfire Hurricane Investigation. So that's what we are going to be discussing today. And I suspect that it's going to be the subject of an additional show, maybe more than one additional show. It could be more than that. We have a lot of, there's a lot of material on the table here. There is an enormous amount of stuff that we need to consider. And so let's take a look at this. So what we're going to do here is I have the executive summary in front of me as we speak. I'm going to be using the executive summary, and I am going to be interspersing it with some audio clips that I think are particularly important. Let's see, I have, trying to figure out, I think I have three audio clips lined up for us to also consider. Some are short, some are a little bit longer than others. Nevertheless, I think there's three or four in the queue. So anyway, let us talk, begin to discuss this in some meaningful way so that we can understand it. And here again, I'm going to try to frame this thing in a way that we can understand it from a critical thinking perspective. What does this actually mean? If we rise above the fray, if you will, if we rise above the politics of the day, what does this actually mean to us? How can we understand it in a way that is meaningful and in a way that's productive and in a way that allows us to put in place those safeguards that, one, should have already been in place before this time, but were not put in place, or if they were in place, they were completely ignored. But by and large, the safeguards were either not there, the safeguards were poorly understood, or, and this is particularly important, the safeguards were easy for people, the people that were operating this this investigation. The safeguards were easy to ignore, and there weren't any repercussions that they expected, nor did they receive until now, of course, but there wasn't any perceived repercussions. So whatever safeguards they had in place or whatever safeguards they thought they had in place were actually easy to ignore. And as a result of that, this whole crossfire hurricane investigation spun completely out of control. And so you could say, okay, then we didn't have any control. It wasn't reined in when it started to wander off the reservation. It wasn't reined in. It wasn't self-correcting. Do we have a mechanism in place that is self-correcting, that can identify and recognize and take action to get this thing back on a viable pathway for us to achieve whatever success we want to achieve? Now, the success could very well have been, and here's the I think in my view, this is the thing, I would say the greatest takeaway that I have from this is that when it was pretty clear that this thing was running, was spinning out of control, there wasn't any course corrections that were applied to it. It continued to be a out of control, a runaway train, and nobody could find the brake switch. Nobody could change the direction of it. Nobody could slow it down. Nobody could stop it. When it was pretty clear that Crossfire Hurricane, as a formally defined investigation by the FBI, when it was pretty clear that this thing was leading to nowhere, why wasn't it stopped? And the answer that we have, or the actuality, what actually occurred, is that it was not stopped. It was not stopped. It was continuing. It was allowed to continue. It was not stopped. And you can put all kinds of reasons. The fact remains that when it was pretty clear that this was spinning out of control and it was going to do serious damage to individuals and to the agency as well as to America, it was not stopped. Nobody stopped it. So it continued. All right. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to labor through some of the background stuff. And I realize that this is going to be a little bit dry. I'll try to try to do my best to keep you from falling asleep. But I felt that if I was going to do a meaningful dive into this particular subject and look at it comprehensively and to dispel some of the notions that are out there. There's a lot of notions that a lot of things are being said that are misleading. There's a lot of things that are being said about this that are self-serving and not true. I would say, and now you can imagine what I'm talking about, but let me be clear, all right, so that there's no confusion. I would say that by and large, the information that I have read or heard that was coming from leaders of the Republican Party, if you will, or Republicans in good standing, or you might say maybe even the conservatives, but certainly we're dealing here primarily with the two-party system, and so we have the Republicans, Democrats. I would say that the Republicans are coming across as appearing to me to be pretty credible in their understanding of what this report says, what it doesn't say, and what is the meaning behind the words. I would say that's by and large true. I would say that most of what I have read or heard coming from the Democratic side is, in fact, pretty misleading. I think they are twisting some of the words, twisting some of the stuff, and I think they are drawing conclusions where conclusions should not be drawn. They are not giving it they're not giving it a view that could be considered to be objective. So that's where I'm seeing it. Now you can, make up your own decision, draw your own conclusions. I think a lot of what is in the report that if you read it like I have, a lot of what's in the report is this is what happened. Exactly why did it happen is not something that the report goes into in any great depth or in any meaningful way. Those people have to draw their own conclusions, but the report is what actually happened during the course of this investigation and during the course of these four FISA applications that authorized electronic surveillance on an American citizen or American citizens. Okay, so here is the background. So let me read this, and I'll try to get through it as quickly as possible. It's a little dry, but I do think that it's important for us to understand it, at least to the extent that this is the mindset, this is the frame of reference that the Inspector General and his staff had and has. All right, background. The Department of Justice, Office of the Inspector General, OIG, undertook this review to examine certain actions by the Federal Bureau of Investigation and the department during an FBI investigation opened on July 31st, 2016, known as Crossfire Hurricane, into whether individuals associated with the Donald J. Trump for President campaign were coordinating wittingly or unwittingly with the Russian government's efforts to interfere in the 2016 U.S. presidential election. Our review included examining, and let's see, there are 1, 2, 3, four, there are 5 points here that they include in their examination. So let me go through these rather quickly. The first one is the decision to open Crossfire Hurricane and four individual cases on current and former members of the Trump campaign, George Papadopoulos, Carter Page, Paul Manafort, and Michael Flynn, the early investigative steps taken, and whether the openings and early steps complied with department and FBI policies. Item two, the FBI's relationship with Christopher Steele, whom the FBI considered to be a confidential human source. CHS is the abbreviation for that. And we're going to be, and the reason why I'm mentioning this is because as we get into the report, we're going to encounter these things that are just standalone. CHS is one of these items that stands alone, but it means confidential human source. Its receipt, use, and evaluation of election reports. The election report, right, is also referred to as the Steele dossier. So, and you're gonna see this phrase, election report from Steele. That's the Steele dossier. They call it the election report from Steele, and its decision to close Steele as an FBI CHS. Now you're gonna realize here that officially Steele was eventually let go by the FBI because of some breach of proper behavior, but in actuality he wasn't. Now, that's pretty chilling. Anyway, so item three, four FBI applications filed with the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, FISC, in 2016 and 2017 to conduct Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act surveillance, FISA surveillance, targeting Carter Page, and whether these applications complied with Department and FBI policies and satisfy the government's obligations to the FISC. Item four, the interactions of Department Attorney Bruce Orr with Steele, the FBI, Glenn Simpson of Fusion GPS, and the State Department, whether work Orr's spouse performed for Fusion GPS implicated ethical rules applicable to Orr, and Orr's interactions with department attorneys regarding the Manafort criminal case, and the FBI's use of undercover employees and CHSs other than Steele in the Crossfire Hurricane investigation, whether the FBI placed any CHSs within the Trump campaign or tasked any CHSs to report on the Trump campaign, whether the use of CHSs and UCEs. We know what a CHS is. This is confidential human source. Okay. Complied with Department and FBI policies and the attendance of a Crossfire Hurricane supervisory agent at counterintelligence briefings given to the 2016 presidential candidates and certain campaign advisors. Now, I know that's a mouthful, right? And sometimes it's a little bit hard to understand the wording here. But basically, what this involves is why was the Crossfire Hurricane investigation opened? Was it properly opened? And once it was underway, was it done in a way consistent with best practices, policies, and consistent with the truth? In other words, was everything that was being done conscientiously attempted to comply with the facts, with the known, that what is known to be true, that which is known to be true? Were things corroborated? Were things checked for accuracy? Were things double-checked? Were there secondary sources that supported what occurred primarily, and so forth and so on? Okay, so we'll take a short break here, and then I've got a audio clip I want to listen to and have you listen to, and then we'll proceed momentarily. Okay, some comments by President Trump as he, now this is right after the release of the IG report. So so we're going to start off here by before we go any further into it. I wanted to run this. There's comments by President Trump and a couple of his advisors. Now, I think it's important for us to see this from the perspective of these people as well. And so before we dive into the specifics, I thought it would be good for us to listen to what they have to say. And this is kind of impromptu, as it turns out. The report was just released. But here's their take on it, and I think it's good to listen to. Here goes.
Okay, thank you very much. The IG report just came out, and I was just briefed on it, and it's a disgrace what's happened with respect to the things that were done to our country. It should never again happen to another president. It is incredible, far worse than I would have ever thought possible. And it's an embarrassment to our country. It's dishonest. It's everything that a lot of people thought it would be, except far worse. So I'm going to get some very detailed briefings. But they are. It's a very sad day when I see that. Very sad day when a lot of people see that. They had known nothing. It was concocted. And you say what you want. That was a probably something that's never happened in the history of our country. Pam Bondi, I think you were able to look at some of the report and can address a little bit of it very well. If you might say a few words, I'd like to ask Kellyanne. I know you've looked at it also. Please.
Sure, President. You know, so many of us who are career law enforcement today are outraged. And I think the American people really should be terrified that this could happen to you when we're supposed to live in a society of integrity and honesty. And this happened to the president, not just to the president. You know, this should be a good day, but it's not. It's a horrible day for the country. That this could happen to the president of the United States, that they could fabricate, falsify emails, lie, and omit exculpatory evidence in order to continue this witch hunt against the president of the United States. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. Now we have the Durham investigation.
Thank you very much. Kellyanne, please.
Mr. President, thank you. I was the campaign manager during that time, and I would ask a simple question. Why no defensive briefing? Why not contact the Trump campaign? Why not contact candidate Trump or Governor Pence or Governor Christie, who at the time was arranging for the intelligence briefings for candidate Trump and was a public servant, a government official at that time as governor of New Jersey with a full intelligence security clearance to receive that type of information. So you can't blame people for feeling that it was unfair and that the fix was in. And to think that perhaps people lied and spied and tried to subvert democracy just because they wanted someone else to win or just because they have a different political point of view. That is not the way the world's greatest democracy has been formed and can survive at a time such as this. I will just repeat something that Attorney General Barr said today, Mr. President, that this was an intrusive investigation of a U.S. presidential campaign on the thinnest of suspicions. And that is chilling language for any of us who want our government to work for us and not against us. I only wish they had come and informed us, Mr. President, and we could have had the knowledge and the wherewithal to act at that time and not put the taxpayers through two-plus protracted years of nonsense. Thank you, sir.
Well, they fabricated evidence, and they lied to the courts, and they did all sorts of things to have it go their way. And this was something that we can never allow to happen again. The report actually, and especially when you look into it and the details of the report, are far worse than anything I would have even imagined what they were doing and what they would have done if I didn't make a certain move that was a very important move, because it would have been even worse, if that's possible. And they might have been able to succeed. This was an overthrow of government. This was an attempted overthrow. And a lot of people were in on it, and they got caught. They got caught red-handed. And I look forward to the Durham report, which is coming out in the not-too-distant future. It's got his own information, which is this information plus, plus, plus. And it's an incredible thing that happened, and we're lucky we caught him. I think I'm going to put this down as one of our great achievements, because what we found and what we saw, never, ever should this happen again in our country.
Okay, so that is a discussion opinions from President Trump and two of his advisors. And what I'd like to do now is that kind of sets the stage. Now, we are concerned here with trying to understand this from a perspective that allows us to see things perhaps a bit differently in terms of how can we consider what has happened? What are the things that we ought to have anticipated? What are the things that we ought to have considered? What are the things that we ought to put in place to have some kind of sanity check along the way? Where are the sanity checks in this whole operation? If we have initiated something that is called Crossfire Hurricane, do we have periods where we have a sanity check? Do we have periods where a progress check as well? Now, they're not the same thing. They would be different. They could be done close together, but progress check and then, of course, a sanity check and then a continuation. Do we continue with this or do we shut it down and do something else? Do we close the books because there's nothing there? There's no there there, whatever. Those are the things that are, you know, that come to my mind. And we are dealing with, certainly we're dealing with a human endeavor. We're dealing with things that are very sensitive. This is a critical investigation. This is not trivial. People's lives are at stake. Reputations of organizations are at stake. There is a national campaign underway. As well as the reputations of government agencies. There is a lot at stake here. And who is raising their hands to say, time out, we need to have a sanity check, and I would suggest that we do that within the next week or so, certainly. We do it sooner rather than later. Where are those sanity checks? And when you read through this executive summary, which is about 20 pages long, you realize that there weren't any. There were no sanity checks. There were lots of cautionary flags that were raised or that should have been raised or were there that should have given people pause to reconsider this this initiative, which is called Crossfire Hurricane, but they were completely ignored. Nobody really wanted to stop it, as it turns out. Okay, the executive summary, opening of Crossfire Hurricane and four related investigations and early investigative steps. The opening of Crossfire Hurricane and four individual cases. As this report says that as we described in Chapter 3, the FBI opened Crossfire Hurricane on July 31st, 2016, just days after its receipt of information from a friendly foreign government, FFG, reporting that in May 2016, during a meeting with the FFG, then Trump campaign foreign policy advisor George Papadopoulos suggested the Trump team had received some kind of suggestion from Russia that it could assist this process with the anonymous release of information during the campaign that would be damaging to Mrs. Clinton and President Obama. The FBI electronic communications opening the Crossfire Hurricane investigation stated that based on the FFG information, this investigation is being opened to determine whether individuals associated with the Trump campaign are witting of and or coordinating activities with the government of Russia. This IG report says that we did not find information in FBI or Department electronic communications or other documents or through witness testimony indicating that any information other than the FFG information was relied upon to predicate the opening of the Crossfire Hurricane investigation. In other words, I'm saying this here parenthetically, in other words, they opened the investigation on a single source of information from a single individual, and there was no additional sources of information that were either sought after or considered at the time, notwithstanding the fact that a single source of information is not always the best way to start in action. There wasn't any secondary source. There wasn't any suggestions from other sources that this might very well be true. Whatever. Okay. It says that although not mentioned in the EC at the time, FBI officials involved in opening the investigation had reason to believe that Russia may have been connected to the WikiLeaks disclosure that occurred earlier in July of 2016 and were aware of information regarding Russia's efforts to interfere with the 2016 elections. These officials, though, did not become aware of Steele's election reporting, that's the Steele dossier, until weeks later, and we therefore determined that Steele's reports played no role in the Crossfire Hurricane opening. Okay, so the Crossfire Hurricane was opened based upon a single source from some individual. Okay, so, and so that goes on to say that they're talking about in full investigations such as Crossfire Hurricane, all lawful investigative methods are allowed and so forth and so on. But they say that the Crossfire Hurricane was open as a full investigation, and all of the senior FBI officials who participated in discussions about whether to open a case told us the information warranted opening it. Okay, so they felt that they were justified in opening this investigation based upon the casual discussions of a single individual from a foreign country. Now, this happens to be the Australian ambassador. So that's the single individual, and he mentioned something in passing, and so they opened this this investigation based apparently solely on that. Then we have a bunch of other stuff that that dealt with the opening of the investigation and whether or not the opening of the investigation was justified. Okay, so they spent a lot of time doing that. And then they go on to talk about, and I'm trying to find it. So here is, and I guess I'm jumping ahead here. Yes. Okay. So what I'm doing, I'm sorry, I'm trying to make sense out of this, rather lengthy, document. Here they're trying to, seek FISA authority, decision to seek FISA authority. So once they have this investigation open, they want to surreptitiously surveil an American citizen. They cannot do that legally without FISA authority. So they are trying to seek FISA authority. And here is the first. This is the first application for FISA authority on Carter Page. At the request of the FBI, the department filed four applications with the FISC. FISA court, if you will, seeking FISA authority targeting Carter Page. The first application on October 21st, 2016, and three renewal applications on January 12th, April 7th, and June 29th. A different FISA judge considered each application and issued the requested orders, collectively resulting in approximately 11 months of FISA coverage targeting Carter Page from October 21st, 2016 to September 22nd, 2017. Decision to seek FISA authority. This report says, and this is the executive summary of the IG report. This report says that we determined that the Crossfire Hurricane team's receipt of Steele's election reporting, that's a Steele dossier, on September 19th, 2016, played a central and essential role in the FBI's and department's decision to seek the FISA order. As noted above, when the team first sought to pursue a FISA order on Page in August 2016, a decision was made by the OGC and OI, or both, those are offices within the Justice Department, or both, that more information was needed to support a probable cause finding that Page was an agent of a foreign power. As a result, FBI OGC ceased discussions with OI about a Page FISA order at that time. On September 19th, 2016, the same day that the Crossfire Hurricane team first received Steele's election reporting, that's a Steele's dossier, the team contacted FBI OGC again about seeking a FISA order for Page and specifically focused on Steele's reporting in drafting the FISA request. 2 days later, on September 21st, the FBI OGC unit chief contacted the NSDOI unit chief to advise him that the FBI believed it was ready to submit a formal FISA request to OI relating to Page. Although the team was also interested in seeking FISA surveillance targeting Papadopoulos, the FBI OGC attorneys were not supportive. Preparation and review process of the FISA. On about September 23rd, the OI attorney began working on the FISA application. The application statement of facts supporting probable cause to believe that Page was an agent of Russia was broken down into five main elements. The first one, the efforts of Russia intelligence services to influence the upcoming U.S. presidential election. Two, the Russia government's attempted coordination with members of the Trump campaign based on the foreign friendly government information reporting the suggestions of assistance from the Russians to someone associated with the Trump campaign. Item 3, Page's historical connections to Russia and the Russian investigative services. Item 4, Page's alleged coordination with the Russian government on 2016 U.S. presidential election activities based on Steele's reporting. And item, what is it, item 5, Page's statement to an FBI CHS, which is a confidential human source, in October 2016 that he had an open checkbook from certain Russians to fund a think tank project. In addition, the statement of facts described Page's denials of coordination with the Russian government as reported in two news articles and asserted by Page in a September 25 letter to then FBI Director Comey. The application received the necessary department approvals and certifications as required by law. Okay, so the role of Steele election reporting, that's the Steele dossier, in the first application in support of the application. In support of the fourth element in the FISA application, Carter Page's alleged coordination with the Russian government in the 2016 U.S. presidential election activities, the application relied entirely on the following information from the Steele dossier, sections 80, 94, 95, and 102. Okay, now we are going to, coming up to the end of this show. So we're going to be covering this rather fascinating section of the IG report next time. So I guess I was right. It's going to be a couple of shows. It may be more than two that we're going to be covering this rather important subject. It's important for all of us, and I think it's due. It's necessary that we spend some time trying to understand what actually happened so that we can prevent it from happening in the future, anytime in the future. That's the idea behind it. Some of it is a bit dry and laborious, but I think it's important for us to try to understand it from a critical thinking standpoint so that we can come up with reasons. Why did it happen? How is it that it was allowed to spin out of control? And checks and balances, and why were program stopping points not applied to such a project as Crossfire Hurricane? Well, that went fast. So this is a close of another show, another Throttle Up. And before I go, I would like to acknowledge a few people. I'd like to thank my listening audience for being here. And I would like to thank Red State Talk Radio for providing us an opportunity for each and every weekend to put on this radio show that we call Throttle Up. And I would like to thank all of you veterans out there. Thank you for your service. And I would like to thank the families of the veterans. Thank you for supporting this noble cause. And I would like to thank all of you on active duty in the Guard and the Reserve. Thank you for serving this great country of ours. And with that, I would like to say goodbye, and we will see you all again next week.